Praise God.
Well, let's all stand and give the Lord a good praise here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's such a worthy Savior. Lord, we love you. We thank you. God, touch our hearts and our lives and our souls. Oh, God, bless us and help us and strengthen us. Thank you, Jesus, for all of the power that you granted to us through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, it's such a great privilege for us to be here tonight again in my home church. And people have asked me across the country, especially when I was up in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, with Brother Moore, said, "You mean you got to have a pastor?" Everybody ought to have a pastor. Everybody needs someone they have to answer to. And that don't mean your wife, brethren. Hallelujah. We need someone we have to answer to. And we need to be responsible to some individual. And Brother Moore certainly is a good man and preached good to us this morning on closing that door on the past and leaving all of that behind and going on to serve the Lord. And you know, one of folks' biggest mistakes is they let the devil sometimes bring their past up in front of them that's already under the blood. Yes, but the devil cannot touch that, and no one else can, because it's under the blood. Say, "Well, I remember what they did back a years ago." Well, if they're saved tonight, and their name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're justified in the sight of God. And justified means it's as if you had never sinned. And when a person comes to Jesus and the blood of Jesus Christ washes all their sins away and their name is put into the Lamb's Book of Life, they stand justified. Wherefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I appreciate Brother Moore up there at Tennessee, where we was at Pigeon Forge. He said so many good things about me. And there's another Don Rich that sings, he sings with a guy by the name of Buck Owens, country and western music. And he sings the high part to him. And then there's another Don Rich in Villarica, Georgia, who has a Ford car dealership. And Brother Moore said so many things, good things about me. I thought maybe one of those guys that came into the service. But we appreciate those things, and may God bless you, and it's a privilege to have him for our pastor. Good to see the folks here from Gypsy, and one fellow down back here, I think he said I got a little slow on my truck the other day or something like that. Well, it used to not be so, Eugene. Remember when I used to tell you, "Boy, you're letting grass grow under your feet. Come on, let's go, let's go." And I'll be 80 in just a few more, 3 or 4 months from now. I'll be 80 years old. A lot of difference between 28 and 80. You'll see if you live that long. I hope you do, if it's God's will. But it's our privilege to be here tonight. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles into the book of Judges. First of all, I want to read out of the book of Ecclesiastes. Then I'll be going to the book of Judges, 11th chapter. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, you may stand for the reading of the word in reverence to God's holy word and God's holy book. If anything deserves reverence, it is the word of God. Hallelujah. I read from the 5th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, verse 1. It says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few." Verse 4. "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? And now we will also go where I just told you in the 11th chapter of the book of Judges. Judges 11th chapter. Hallelujah. Judges 11th chapter, verse 29, I'll begin reading. When you have it, say amen. Amen. And all of those that don't have it might well say amen too. Judges chapter 11, verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpeh and Gilead. And from Mizpeh of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Elah even until thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plains of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpeh unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child, and beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, for thou art one of them that trouble me. And here's my text. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, and do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth, for as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, Go. And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went up with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of the two months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in the year. Notice in verse 35, I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. You may be seated. And really, I don't feel like preaching tonight. I'm tired and weary, and my body is aching in different places. But several years ago, kneeling at an old-fashioned altar, loaded down with sin, with many undesirable habits and things in my life, I said to the Lord, Lord, if you'll forgive me all of my sins, wipe my record clean, and write my name down in the book of life, I'll do my best to serve you. So the reason I'm up here tonight, I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Listen to me. The Bible says that Jephthah, whenever he made that vow, he said, The first thing that meets me out of my gates, I will offer up as a burnt sacrifice unto the Lord. And of course, that was against God's principles. For God did not come to destroy lives, but to save lives. But that was the vow that Jephthah made, not realizing that his own daughter would be the first thing that came out of the gates. He probably thought, if it's my best sheep or my best oxen or whatever I have, that's the best animal I'm going to offer him. But he did not know that that would be his own daughter that was the first thing to meet him out the gates. But listen to me. As I said, she had a penalty, and so did Jephthah. He had no son-in-law and no grandchildren. But she had to remain a virgin all the days of her life. Oh, yes. But listen, we must be careful with our words to God when we have a need. Oh, yes. We say many times, oh, God, if you will do this for me, if you'll heal or if you'll answer my prayer, if you'll supply this, God, then I'll do this for you. And God comes through on his part, and we either forget or ignore what we promised to God, but God does not forget. Hear me what I'm telling you. God comes through many times after we've promised him things, and then we never do our part. Oh, Lord, glory to God. Oh, yes. Let me ask you a question. Let me talk to you about it tonight. Have you opened your mouth to the Lord? Have you told God you'd do certain things for him if he would do certain things for you? And God gave you an answer. Oh, yes, I remember one time when our daughter Ramona was having convulsions of some kind, and Shirley was having to hold her tongue down with a fork, or a spoon rather, instead of a fork, and she was chewing her tongue and in a real bad shape, and I didn't know what to do. We prayed, and finally I walked outside and left Shirley in there with her. And while I was out there, I said, Lord, if you'll heal Ramona tonight, whatever you place upon my heart, I'll try to do it for you, for the glory of God. Little did I know that I was going to have to travel all the countries I've been in, which is 26, and preach the word of God. Little did I know sometimes I wouldn't get enough money to pay my traveling expenses. But I done open my mouth unto the Lord, and I could not go back. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And Brother Moore asked me about coming and preaching tonight. And I thought, well, I'm really not in shape. My legs are hurting. I've got problems. He asked me that this morning. And then it came to me that I'd open my mouth unto the Lord. And I cannot go back. Anybody beside me ever open your mouth to the Lord? And you find it sometimes hard to stay put where you told God you would stay. But I'm going to tell you something. If you promise God something, if you made promises to God, and you may have forgot it or may not have kept your promise, but God still has it on his records, and you've got to do what God told you would do. One time a man down in Tulsa area called Sister Rich and I was preaching a revival for my brother. And he said, Brother Rich, I'm trying to sell some land, and if I get so much an acre for my upland, that's highland, it's not as fertile. And if I get so much an acre for my bottom land, which that's fertile land down low, I'm going to give you and Sister Rich and all of your children, which at that time I believe was two, maybe three, I'm going to give you $100 each to buy new clothes. He called me that next morning, and I was already at my brother's church praying that he could sell that land. He sold it. And I didn't hear from him. First day went by, still hadn't heard. Second day went by, hadn't heard. And the third day, I thought, well, I better give him a call. Maybe he didn't even have the sale. I called him. I said, how'd that sale of your land go? Oh, brother, said it went good. I said, I got as much for that upland as I was wanting for that bottom land. And I really got a good price out of the bottom land. Well, I'm still waiting on my $100, and so is Sister Rich and all of our children. But listen, God remembered that. And I don't feel bad. I see the man every once in a while at Bristow camp meeting. If I'd call his name, you might know him. I've seen him sail out of the campgrounds, tabernacle, an old tabernacle, with his hands lifted after he had told me that. Now, let me tell you something. We may fool men, but we're not going to fool God. If you told God something, you've got to do what you told God you'd do. Oh, yes. Have you made promises to God you haven't kept? Oh, God has the record. And listen, listen to me. Jacob, as he was fleeing, the 28th chapter of Genesis, going to Padan to get a wife, he took for his pillow stones. And he laid there and slept on those stones. And then he vowed a vow to God. He said, if God, if you'll be with me and keep me in this way, and that you'll give me bread to eat and raiment to wear. Oh, yes. So that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone that I have set up is for a pillar, shall be God's house. And all that God, hold on now, all that God shall give me, I will surely give the tenth part to God. How many's promised to pay their tithes? And you're behind in your tithes. I'd rather owe Eugene Box there, brother, more here than to owe God. Come on, help me here. Oh, don't get behind in your tithe. Keep your tithe paid up. If not anything, keep it a little over. Whenever Ramona was having those convulsions, I went in and I said, Shirley, get the checkbook out. So why get the checkbook out? I said, check up and see if we're caught up with our tithes. I'm trying to get a hold of God. Looking at me strange here. I said, I want to see if I'm caught up. She said, as far as I can tell, we're caught up with our tithes and maybe over. I said, okay, I can pray with more confidence. Sister Rachel, remember that? I went out of that trailer and prayed. I came back and Mona was worse. And she's having those, what did you call them? Was it convulsions? And she was chewing up her tongue and mouth bleeding. And like someone having epilepsy or something like that. I said, God, I've did what you told me to do. Now, Lord, I want you to perform for me. I laid my hand upon her. God is my witness. Immediately, she stopped having convulsions. And as far as I know, she's never had one of them since. If you open your mouth unto the Lord, don't you go back. Oh, listen, a lot of people in the holiness church have made vows to God. And made promises to God. Some of them are not even in the house of God tonight. Many of them have gone back. People right from this congregation. Say, well, now you're getting too personal. No, I'm talking about people from this congregation. People that's been here. People that seem to have the victory. People we were counting on to be good members in the church. And really be faithful to the church. But where are they at tonight? Back out there. But God still remembers. Yes, He does. And some people, well, one man told me, he said, yeah, we're needing new carpet here. So if I could get the people to pay up on all their pledges they made, said that we could put new carpet in. Well, it's better for you not to make a vow. Better you not to tell you give anything whenever built this church. You remember that, Brother Moore? Yes, sir. And whenever needed more money. If you told God you'd give so much and you didn't do it, God can count too. I said, God can count too. You've got to do what you told God to do. Listen to me. Jephthah, he prayed this prayer. And he said, and he vowed this vow. If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. He wasn't expecting his daughter to come out, and I said it was against the principles of God. But we have to give the man credit. When he saw his daughter come out with timbrels and dancing out the gates, he said, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. Thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth, and I cannot go back." Think of the backsliders you know today. Think of those that's made promises to God. Oh, I haven't been able to do everything that I've told the Lord I'd do, but there's one way to get around that. True repentance. And then make a new start and do what you told God you'd do. Oh, yeah. Brother L.D. Moore used to sing a little old chorus. Why don't you do what you told him you'd do? Well, that's a pretty good little chorus. If you told him you'd do something, go ahead and do it. Amen. Obey him. Amen. Jacob vowed that vow, and he paid his tithe. Oh, I'd like to tell you tonight, if you've opened your mouth to the Lord, be like Jephthah old. No, he did not offer his daughter, but she became a virgin. Never was allowed to marry. Not only that, but Jephthah had no grandchildren, no son-in-law. Had to pay a big penalty for that cause and that vow that he made. That's why the Bible tells us to be careful when we come to God's house. And be more ready to hear than to speak. Well, most people I know are more ready to speak than they are to hear. And sometimes we get mail that's addressed to someone else. And when we see it's addressed to someone else or might even open it, we'll put down "open by mistake" and put it back in the mailbox. Well, nothing's open more by mistake than our mouths. Amen. That's right. Now, I'm talking about me too. I've said things that I shouldn't have said. I've said things to people I shouldn't have said. And if I've said that to you, I ask you to forgive me tonight. And let's go to heaven together. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. When I went, after I accepted the call to preach the gospel, I had two little daughters, Ramona and Leah. And Leon wasn't born as yet. Well, I went by to tell my mother and my dad that I was going out to preach. I was leaving my prosperous business in California. We had everything loaded in a car and in a little trailer. And I said, "I'm going out to preach." Mama started crying. She said, "You're going to just drag those children from pillar to post. They probably won't have clothes. They might not have enough food to eat. Might not even have shoes for their feet." I can say to this day, the children has never went hungry to my knowledge. They've always had clothes to wear and shoes to put on their feet. When you open your mouth unto the Lord, not only do you have a record, but God has a record. And you may fail in keeping your end of the bargain, but I promise you, He will never fail in keeping His end of the bargain. The Bible said that her father made this statement. Jephthah made this statement. And when he came back from the battle, God had helped him win it. A very great slaughter. He had won a great battle against the children of Ammon, and they were subdued before him. Oh, yes. And Jephthah came back to Mizpeh, his home. Here come his daughter out playing a tambourine. And he'd already said, "Whatever comes out to meet me out of my gates, I will offer them up as a burnt offering unto the Lord." But remember, as I've already said, it's not God's will, and He didn't come to destroy lives, He came to save lives. But she said, you got to give the daughter credit. She said, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which thou hast proceeded, as that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord taketh vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even the children of Ammon. And she said unto his father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down on the mountains and bewail my virginity. She remained a virgin all the days of her life. Never was able to marry. Never was able to bring up grandchildren for Jephthah. All because he made, I guess some would call it, a rash vow. Has anybody here ever made a rash vow? Well, there's consequences that go with that. That's why you've got to be careful what you tell God you'll do. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, people tell God, Lord, if you'll just heal so-and-so, I'll live for you, I'll do this, I'll do that. And God comes through, and somewhere in the past lies their vow, still hasn't been kept. But you must keep your vows. Just like I stood with a lady, this lady's here tonight, be 59 years in June. Stand up, Shirley. I stood by her almost 59 years ago. I took a vow before Virgil Moore. As your uncle? Yeah, Brother Virgil Moore stood there with his Bible, read some Bible and scriptures about marriage, and then I promised and vowed that I would keep myself from all others. And that still is good. And that should be your vow too. I said, I keep myself from all others and keep myself solely to her as long as we both shall live. Now, one of us pass on. If she goes on, I'm free to marry again. Or if I go on, she can marry again. And they'll probably be standing in line for her. I doubt if anybody be waiting along for me. But anyhow, the truth of it is, when you open your mouth to the Lord, don't go back. Bible says that this daughter of Jephthah, she asked for permission to go for 2 months up and down the mountains with those that would go with her, her friends, and bewail her virginity. And he said, go, and he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity up on the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in the year. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that's opened your mouth to the Lord and you have not kept your word to the Lord. It's easy to break a vow, but it's hard to ever put the ends back together again. But I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I believe I'm safe in saying that somebody here has broken some vows that they made to God. Oh, yes. That you told God you'd do certain things. You never have done it. An old gentleman come to me in Pasadena, California, where I was preaching revival. And he said, Brother Rich, I want to know something. He was about my age I am now, and I was younger than Brother Steve is now. He said, Brother Rich, I want to ask you a question. Is there any hope for me? I said, well, I don't know. I'd say there is. What's the problem? He said, well, God called me to preach when I was a young man. I had a family started. He said, I told God when I get my family raised, I'll go. Well, now, God's not going to sit around and wait on you to raise your family. But he said that it seemed like the Lord accepted that. First thing you know, his family was gone. Then he told the Lord if he'd wait till he retired from his job and got his pension started, he would go preach. And he said, now here I am, an old man. Never have went. Never have preached a sermon. But I told God I would. He said, is there any hope for me? I said, I'm going to leave that between you and God. But you should be careful what you tell God you'll do. Stand with me, please. I know I haven't preached very long or very much, but you've got the message. Be careful what you tell God you'll do. I don't want to break my word to Brother Charles Moore, Brother Steve Moore, or any of you out there. But I'd rather break my word to you than break my word to God. Oh, yes. Yes, Brother Calvin, I'd rather break my word to any man than I would to God. But think of the many people just up there, gypsy alone. Think of the many people who come through your church. Promise God they'd serve him, live for him. Think of the backsliders. I'm thinking of the backsliders right from this church right now, some of them. Some of them stood right down here. But we thought they would be really secure members of this church. Wasn't long somebody take them off into a church where you don't have to live much. And once you're saved, you're always saved. And let me tell you something. It's just like a cow when you put it in pasture. Once it's in pasture, it's not always in pasture. If it breaks that fence, it's out of the pasture. And if you break out, you're out of the will of God and out from under the grace of God. You'd be surprised how many people believe that once you made an acknowledge of accepting Christ as your Savior, that that secures you forever. You can go out. I remember one man, he asked me to preach his dad's funeral, and he was a good man, Brother Terry, up there in Kansas City. This man was a good man. He said, I don't know whether to ask you to preach my dad's funeral or not. But said, found him on the streets, and he died with acute alcoholism. And said, if you feel like you can, I want you to preach his funeral. I said, I'll do my best. And they had it lined up for me to preach his funeral. And some of his relatives found somewhere in the records when he's about 12 years old, no reflection on the Baptist, but he went to a Baptist church, said he accepted the Lord and put his name on the book. And they canceled me and got a Baptist preacher that came and said, this is just one of God's wayward sons that he's taken on home to him, with heaven with him. Oh, no, my friend. If a tree falls, which way is north? That way? Tree falls toward the north or toward the south. In the place that tree falleth, so shall it be. If you die with Jesus in your life, don't you worry. When you come before the judgment, you'll still have Jesus. But if you die without him, you're in trouble. And I was in Mexico, in Guanajuato, Mexico. I was with Brother Elisar. You know him. I said, what's that big building down there? Right by the Cristo de Rey, Christ the King statue. I said, what's that big building down there? He said, that's a purgatory. I said, a purgatory? What in the world is that? Then they explained it to me. If someone dies and they're not in the faith, they can go there and do so much penance, and their family can do so much penance after they're dead. And they can pray them out of purgatory, and even though they was on their way to hell, they could pray them out of there, and they could go to heaven. My friend, if you're here tonight and you do not have Jesus in your life, and you have an accident on your way home, and you go out to meet God, you're just as sure to go to hell as there is a hell. If you have Jesus in your life, you're just as sure to go to heaven as there is a heaven. And there's no other way to put it. So I wish you'd put it easy. That is easy. Accept Jesus Christ and secure your eternity with him. I'm going to close here in just a moment. Sister can come to the piano. But if there's anyone here tonight, you're not sure about your salvation. You know, you got to have assurance. And you may lose confidence in me. But every once in a while, I'll get down and I say, Lord, I got to know for sure. Am I really saved? Am I ready to go? Something happened to me today, Am I ready to go with you? I got to have that assurance. Oh, yes. Are you assured of your salvation tonight? Do you have feelings in your heart against someone? You haven't been willing to forgive? You know what the book says? Be ye kind one unto another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. But in the holiness churches that I travel around and preach in, I find people that still have grudges that they've been carrying for a long time. A grudge is too big a load for anyone who claims to be a Christian to carry. Amen? Too big a load. I have nothing against anyone here. If I've wronged anyone here in any way, I ask you to forgive me tonight. That's it. Now, if there's a problem between you and I, it's your problem and not my problem. You ever have to ask anybody to forgive you? Is everybody here too big to ask for forgiveness? None of us is too big to ask someone to forgive us. Oh, that's right. Sometimes I've had to ask my wife. What about that? Sometimes I've been too harsh with my children, and I've had to ask them to forgive me. You've got to forgive if you're going to be forgiven. Oh, yes. Would there be one while every head is bowed and our sister sings and plays? Would just lift your hand and say, Brother Rich, I'm not sure about my salvation, but pray for me that I can have that assurance that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life and that I'm ready to go should that trumpet sound. Anyone want to lift your hand for salvation tonight? Maybe some young person, some young girl, or some young boy. You're not sure about your salvation. The pastor said, you can close the door on the past and leave it all behind, but the only way you can do that is truly repent of that. Be remembered in prayer. Heavenly Father, I've did my best to bring forth that which you have asked me to do. Lord, many years ago I opened my mouth to you and I cannot go back. Lord, I pray for these that are here that everyone is safe in the fold. For we know should there be one out of the fold, the good shepherd is on a search for that one lost sheep. Lord, ask you to bless this congregation. Bless our pastor, his wife, and all of his family, and this church family. In Jesus' name, gather with me now around this altar. Everyone that will, and let's spend some time seeking the Lord.
Swan.